Welcome back, Dynasty lovers, to another episode of the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Adrian, with my co-host,
Scott Martin.
We are back. Back again. Backstreet's back. Tell a friend. I'm not sure how the song goes. Is that Shady's back? Shady's back. I don't know my songs. Moving on. We're here for the off-season buys. It's going to be a great episode.
I love everyone.
Bye. Is that Backstreet Boys too?
Dude, you're so tone deaf.
I never said I had a great voice. It sounds wonderful in the car when I'm singing. But other than that, I don't sing in public. Nope. In church, I sing very lightly. Keep it nice and quiet.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to scare people off.
Yep.
Moving on. Okay, back to the offseason buys here. So we are going to give you your quarterbacks, your running backs, your wide receivers, your tight ends, one veteran, one first, second, third-year player from each of us. That is if we don't have any overlap here. So, but we'll see during the show. But as always, we give it to the big boys, the QBs. So Scotty, do you want to start off with your buys for the offseason, or do you want me to start off with this?
I'll give it to you first here. There's no bigger buy, no safer lock that you should have on your team than Ryan Tannehill. Number 7 on the year last year. Everything is upgraded for him to have a better performance. You got Julio. You should have a more balanced offense as they try to not run Henry into the ground. He's a lock for a QB1. I just don't understand how Ryan Tannehill is not the league quarterback for most teams. And in most situations, I see him as on teams that he's their backup. I think I would pay a first-round pick for Ryan Tannehill.
In a single QB league?
Well, it depends on if you got
crazy?
It depends on if you got no QBs. If I am not quarterback needy and I have, I don't know, throw me a quarterback out there. Any quarterback.
Tom Brady.
If I have Tom Brady on my roster, I would give up any first-round pick that's not a 2022 first-round pick for Ryan Tannehill.
Is Ryan Tannehill going to be an upgrade over Tom Brady, though, this year?
Going forward, he will be.
going forward, like, Tom Brady's playing until he's, like, 65. So
That's a great two QBs to have there,
though. Tom Brady is actually playing to the real retirement age of 65.
Yep.
And by the time he's at 65, the retirement age is going to be like 67, 68, 70. So he's playing forever.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill for me, big buy. And, you know, even though I'm a Titans fan, I'm not a big Titans fantasy football homer. So he's my dude, man. Sign me up.
I agree Ryan Tannehill's a buy, but I think his price is getting probably out of control now. I think everyone that owns Ryan Tannehill knows how good Ryan Tannehill is for their fantasy football team. So not selling him for pennies. And with this addition of Julio, the expectation is that the Titans offense is going to pass more. They lose Arthur Smith to the Atlanta Falcons. So theoretically, the offense is going to change some, even though they're promoting in-house. I think the price on Tannehill is the one question now that may be a little bit hesitant to have a buy on him. But
where do
I can
you
see
think
that.
He is ADP-wise? On the quarterback list.
With these rookies, there's going to be a lot of rookie fever, so they're probably pushing Ryan Tannehill down. I think Tannehill's probably ADP is going to be at 14.
Try 19.
That's crazy. People
I'm going to name I'm going to name a list of people that's ahead of him. Obviously, Jalen Hurts.
I'd take Tannehill.
Yeah. Stafford, Tua, Zach Wilson.
Stafford.
I'd definitely take
Tannehill over Tua.
Tom Brady is after Tannehill.
Yeah, that's
Baker is ahead of Tannehill.
I'd probably take Tannehill at this stage.
You definitely would. Baker Mayfield is capped at mid QB2. That's his.
End of the season, but.
And who's your QB buy?
Well, first off, give us your second buy and why.
My second buy is Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you are a number one, if you're a QB needy team, he better be at the top of the list. Number two, if you're looking for a guy that you can go out and flex and he will put up QB1 numbers, and I mean big time QB1 numbers, why would you not want Ryan Fitzpatrick? Go look at his last 2 years. Look at the box scores of every game he plays. You average those out, you're almost guaranteeing you're going to get anywhere from 18 to 20 points. That is, I mean, everybody has a bad game. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, when he plays, he scores. He puts up money points. And he's a cheap buy. So if you are a win now team, every single team should have Ryan Fitzpatrick on it. Because at some point, doesn't matter if it's a bye week, doesn't matter if it's an injury, this guy's he's got it, man. And Washington's not very they're going to give him the football. I don't see Hinkie. I don't see
Heineke, not Hinkie.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Hickey, whatever. And I don't think Kyle Allen's healthy yet. No one's taken this job from Fitzpatrick. I think if he plays well, this team might surprise some people, and God knows how bad that division is. They might make the playoffs. So give me Ryan Fitzpatrick or give me death.
Live free or die with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I agree with Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you're a win now team, if you need a backup quarterback, I think he's a great buy. His price is there. He's older. He's not going to break the bank. Probably can get him for a third round pick. I don't think it'd be a problem with that. I don't think anyone's going to be arguing if you offer a third round pick. Maybe go get him cheaper in a one QB league, especially around draft time if your draft hasn't happened yet. But yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, definite buy. So my first buy, we'll start with my younger player then. My younger player is Danny Dimes. So definitely didn't have a great 2020. He was the number 32 overall quarterback in points per game at 12.9. And he actually had only two games over 20 points. So he hurt you more often than not last season if you had the guts to play him the whole season. If you did, you were probably tanking and you're trying to go for that Najee Harris first overall pick then. But Danny Dimes was awful last year. But look what he had. He had Wayne Gallman as his running back. He had a terrible offensive line. He had Golden Tate, who's way past his prime. He had Sterling Shepard, who's just a role player. And his top receiver was Darius Slayton, who was just in his second year in the league and was definitely hurt by the inability of Danny Dimes to throw the ball farther down the field because he was getting hit. And he looked scared last year. He was thrown off his back foot. He was just getting hammered last year. And then at tight end, you have Evan Stonehands Ingram, who Evan Ingram probably lost the Giants a playoff spot when he dropped that pass against the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it was like a Monday night game or maybe a Thursday night game. One of those bookend games. And Danny Dimes was not helped at all. And it was his first year with Jason Garrett as the play caller. And so it was definitely a down year. But when you look at 2019, so he was the 16th overall player at the quarterback position in points per game at 6.5. So almost a full touchdown in four-point passing touchdown leagues. And guess who he was tied with in 2019? Tom Bomb Brady at 16th overall then. So that's pretty good company. And that's as a rookie. And you know how I said he only had two games over 20 points. In 2019, he had three, almost four games over 30 points. So he shows that high-end potential, a guy that can actually win you a week, a guy that can play at a high level, a guy that has the potential to be a QB1. And people are way out on Danny Dimes. But then you look at his offense this year and you think, 2021, you have Saquon Barkley back, taking a lot of pressure off him as being the primary weapon, primary passing game. You have supposedly improved offensive line. You bring in Kenny Galladay. You bring in Kadarius Toney. You have Darius Slayton back for another year here. You have Evan Stoneham Ingram, hopefully, maybe soften those hands up with a little bit of a, like a, what kind of lotion soften things up, like the calluses? I don't know. There's some types of lotion that soften up calluses. Evan Ingram needs that to soften up those stone hands. So Danny Dimes is my buy. He should have a lot better year this year, and I think he could sneak into that back end QB1 range. I'm not predicting to be a top six QB by any means, but I think he can sneak into that back end QB1 range, higher end QB2, and be an excellent QB2 on your fantasy teams and a possible flex play in the future. So Danny Dimes, excellent buy. Comments on Danny Dimes from your end.
So Danny Dimes, if you are a win now team and you need another quarterback, go get Danny Dimes. He has tremendous upside for the year, but going forward, I don't see the dynasty value. Danny Dimes is this year's Gardner Minshew. He's a guy that can go out and put up great fantasy numbers. He's going to be a good quarterback that can put up numbers. He's going to be back in QB1 to high QB2. And that's great. He is not going to be the starting quarterback for the Giants next year. I wholeheartedly believe that Danny Jones is not the quarterback there next year. And I just can't buy into him long term. But in the short term, I think, especially for the first half of the season, he's going to play really well. He's going to put up good fantasy points. He's going to be a good fantasy quarterback. I don't think the Giants are going to be invested in him long term.
I think the Giants are good enough to possibly sneak into the playoffs pending another Dallas collapse. And I think there's a chance that Danny Dimes could be the long-term option there. But he has to ball out this year. If he doesn't look good this year, I can definitely see them replacing him. So I wouldn't go spending the Ryan Tannehill money on this guy. But you can get him at a decent price. Some high younger player, some younger wide receiver that showed a spark but you don't believe in, you could probably trade for Danny Dimes and plus. So he's a good buy out there. As far as my veteran, Carson Wentz, he is
easy.
The definite buy.
Easy buy. Money there.
First off, his contract pretty much guarantees, well, I thought he was going to be guaranteed to be in Philadelphia for a while with that contract, but they're eating a lot of cash this year. But his contract almost guarantees him to be the starter in Indianapolis for the next 2 years. So when you look at things, in the last 2 years of Philadelphia, he had nothing. He had an injured offensive line. He had trash at wide receiver. And the coaching staff did not support him much at all. He had the backing of the owner, some of the people in the front office, but the coaching staff obviously didn't show the great desire to have Carson Wentz succeed. And ultimately, I think he took it too personally with them drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round. But that was sort of the hint that they were looking possibly to move on from Carson Wentz then. But when you look back at things, in 2020, he was the 15th overall quarterback in points per game at 17.2. That's not bad.
Nope.
And everyone thinks Carson Wentz had a trash year last year, but he was the 15th overall quarterback in points per game. That's pretty good. That's high-end QB2. And then in 2019, he was 22 at 16.5, so not a big decrease. I guess they scored more in at least the middle ranges in 2019. And then when you go back to 2017, I know it's a big stretch back to 2017. Guess what rank he was overall in points per game?
8.
Higher.
Wow. I thought I was hitting high there. 6.
Higher.
No, he wasn't.
Higher.
3?
Higher.
No.
Yeah. He was tied for number 2 overall in 2017. And guess who he was teamed up with in 2017? Former orchestra of the greatest comeback in playoff history against the Houston Titans. Or Houston Texans. Actually, yeah, the Houston Oilers at that time. Sorry. Come on. Frank Wright, man. Frank Wright, the Buffalo Bills. So Frank Wright was his offensive coordinator in Philly. I don't know if he's the offensive coordinator, he's the quarterback coach or what, but he was an instrumental part in Carson Wentz's development. And he is teaming back up with Frank Wright in the Indianapolis Colts, and he is a definite buy on the cheap. And even though he's a starter in Indianapolis, people see Indianapolis as a run-first team, but he has way better weapons than he had in Philadelphia the last 2 years. He has Michael Pittman, who's an up-and-coming wide receiver. He has a young Paris Campbell. He has Zach Pascal, who's an underrated wide receiver then. And T.Y. Hilton, I'll be talking about him later today as my wide receiver buy, my veteran. And I think he's been hurt the last 2 years by sort of substandard quarterback player, guys that are past their prime as Philip Rivers was then. But Carson Wentz, definite buy.
I agree with both of those. I would be those are four solid buys right there.
Yeah, so it's the quarterback market, especially in one QB league, is always sweet, but at least, especially my two, I think they're very cheap, and you could get them at reasonable prices even in Superflex leagues. So I think the Superflex owner of Tannehill is going to know how valuable he is, and he's going to charge you an arm and a leg. But I think our other three quarterbacks have definite value and are definite options in Superflex leagues. So let's move on to the running back position. Since you start off quarterbacks, you can start off the running backs as well.
No running back is more disrespected, and I don't even think I like this guy. But the more I kept looking into this, I'm getting hyped. And I'm trying to temper expectations, but I'm getting real hyped. David Montgomery. He was the RB4 last year. And you were talking about a team that's going to start out with Andy Dalton at quarterback. And they're going to ease Justin Fields along a little bit. I don't think they're going to go out and say, throw the ball 40 times a game. There's reports that Montgomery's going to get 300 carries this year, 20 touches a game. It's going to happen. Montgomery is as clear of a buy as you could possibly get. You are swinging for the fences here and likely getting a solid RB1, and I think you can get him for RB2 price. So this guy, his ADP is number, what do you think it is?
15?
21. 21. That's crazy. 21, and you have a chance to get someone with that volume that could be a top, maybe even a top half. He could finish in the top five again. The competition they play this year is a little better. Well, it should be anyway. But
yeah, the end of the season for the Bears last year was pitiful.
Yep.
they played some pitiful teams.
But I'm telling you, if you are playing the I want to win this year, you should have David Montgomery on your roster. Do I think long-term David Montgomery is some great running back? Heck no. I'm not a David Montgomery fan, but if you want to win a title, he's a guy that you should be trying to go get if he's attainable.
Yeah, I agree with David Montgomery. I think he's significantly undervalued. I think he's obtainable for a guy that's finishing as RB1. And I almost view him as sort of the Lamar Miller of past years.
Yep.
Where he's always going to be solid for your team. But people just don't respect them. They don't like. They don't want to draft him. They don't want to have him on their team.
The volume is gonna be there.
Yeah, the volume's gonna be there because they brought in Damian Williams. They drafted Khalil Herbert. Tariq Cohen apparently is not looking 100% or even close to 100% yet. So I think you're going to be seeing a lot of volume for David Montgomery. And barring an injury, I think he's going to get to that 300 carry mark, no problem. And the Bears are looking to control the ball and not necessarily win with Andy Dalton's arm, but on the run game and then the touchdown passes to Allen Robinson and then play the defensive game. But I think I agree. I like that. David Montgomery, great buy. Who do you guys, your other guy?
Cheap money. That's who this guy is. Chase Edmonds. He was a fringe RB2 last year, and he wasn't even the starter. And there's no way he doesn't get the lion's share of the carries and the catches, because everyone knows that James Conner is not going to play the whole season. If you believe that, you're kidding yourself. Guess what ADP he is?
So if Montgomery's 22, what is he? 26?
28.
Oh, closer.
No reason Chase Edmonds shouldn't be your RB3 on every team. Just make it happen. I think that you could probably package a second round pick and a decent young player and get Chase Edmonds. And it's easy. I'd give 2 seconds for Chase Edmonds. Not 2022, not two of those, but a 2022 and something else. 2023, yeah. 2024.
You would give those, but would anyone sell you those? I think Chase Edmonds, we're going to start seeing his name creep up, especially in redraft leagues. You're going to see him start shooting up boards. I think he doesn't hold much value now. In Dynasty.
You make the trade now. Why James Conner is still viewed as a committee split carry back.
Yeah, but by the time the season starts, you're going to have to be trading the first for Chase Edmonds. I can see it now.
Yep.
So I think right now, if you have that owner that's not really up to date on things and sees like, oh, he's behind James Conner, then you make that trade. But once that owner realizes it, I think he's going to get one go for that big money. So because I would trade Chase Edmonds for anything less than, I think, a first at this point, especially if I win now team. If I'm not a win-now team, I'm looking to unload him as fast as possible because I don't think he's a long-term option there.
If you are not a win-now team, would you not take 2 seconds? If you thought that second, it has to be an early second, obviously.
If I'm sent running back, I'm trading him no matter what.
Yeah.
If I'm a win-now team, I want to keep him for my team. Give me that championship then. If I'm rebuilding, I'm waiting until the absolute start of the season. Maybe waiting a game or two in and sell them for pure gold. Pure gold.
Yep.
But that's why I almost have more as a sell. And when we do our off-season sells, you may see his name pop up on my list. I'm just looking a little ahead here, but you may see him on there. Him and Mr. Miles Gaskin. But yeah. But this is a buy episode. So guess my two buys.
Well, I know one of them. I guarantee one of them.
One of my buys should be my buy every single year because he's absolutely disrespected. But I'm not going to go into him. I've talked enough about him on this podcast. And that's Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is the most disrespected fantasy football player ever since he kicked that person in the head, that girl in the head. But he still can run the ball pretty well. And even though he's with Nick Chubb, he still puts up RB1 numbers.
He's a safe lock RB3 on your team.
Yeah, he's great, but we're not talking about Kareem Hunt today.
Zach Moss.
We're talking about guys that are under the radar. I'll start with my veteran here.
Okay.
So this is the Kareem Hunt in the same division, but on a different team. But he can't catch the ball as well. But still could put up big numbers and be. I don't know if he has a high ceiling, but he has a very safe floor. Who am I thinking of? Quote the Raven nevermore.
Gus?
Gus Bus.
Wow, I didn't think you'd go for him.
The Gus Bus. He is a buy. So you lose Mark Ingram. You have Justice Hill. And you have J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins, I think, is going to see the most of the work, but I think it's going to be more of a that 60, 40, 55, 45 split then. Whatever's left over after Lamar Jackson doesn't steal the ball. But I think Lamar Jackson's going to be stealing more from the wide receivers in the passing game than he is in the running game. And I think the Gus Bus, he's a guy that's a tank. He's their bulldozer for this team then. In his career, guess what his yak is, yards per carry? I guess not his yak.
3.6.
5.2 yards per carry in his
career. Wow, that's surprising.
5.2. In his first three seasons in the league, he's averaged over 700 yards every single year.
I see him as a touchdown-dependent guy that's going to get a lot more volume than you think.
Well, yeah, he's definitely going to be a touchdown-dependent. For him to make your team on those weeks, he's going to have to score a touchdown. He's not going to help you in the passing game. I don't know who they're going to have in the passing game because J.K. Dobbins, he can't catch the ball either.
Justice Hill.
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot of third down work. Yeah, you watch for it.
You keep on talking about Justice Hill. I think Mark Andrews is going to be that pass-catching back. But, Gus Edwards, very safe flex option and great for a win-now team that's looking for a safe guy, especially with these – we're now looking at 18-week seasons. Actually, well, we're looking at a full 17-week season if you're going for the championship. So you need running backs. You need lots of running backs. You need to stockpile that running back room now before the prices increase in season. And you probably want to go at least five guys deep, I'm saying, for the year. You can't have just three running backs.
No.
You can't have three running backs. You've got to have five that you would feel comfortable starting. You don't have to start Gus Bus every single week, but if worst comes to worst, bye weeks, injuries, he has that floor that's not going to have your team fall off a cliff then. So Gus Bus is my veteran buy here.
So my win now team that it's a single QB league, half point PPR. My starting running backs are Dalvin Cook and Cam Akers. Wish I had a little bit higher guy to put there, but... My number three is Chase Edmonds. My number four is Gus Edwards.
I like it.
Yep, there it is.
You got the PPR back in Chase Edmonds with higher upside, and then you have the solid floor with Gus Bus. Yep, so yep. I would probably look for that fifth running back just to be safe, but I'm a big believer in depth, so that's just me. But as far as my younger guy... There's a lot of great young running backs out there, but all of them have very high price tags, except for one guy, and that's Zach Moss.
Yes, yes, I knew
Zach
it.
Zach Moss. So he's going to have a bigger role than he had last year. I think he's going to take over the majority of work from Devin Singletary. I still think you're going to see Singletary sprinkle in there. I still think it's going to be a running back by committee, but I think it's going to be more of that 60-40, 65-35 split. And Zach Moss is going to be your secondary goal line back. You know who the primary goal line back is?
Josh Allen.
Buffalo Bills? Josh Allen. Yes, correct. Scotty with a point. Yeah, but Zach Moss, he will get some touchdowns too. I think they're going to try to protect Josh Allen a little more in the red zone this year. And that's why they drafted him in the third round last year, to have a bigger back then. And Devin Singletary comes in at 5'7", 203, but Zach Moss is 5'9", 223, so definitely has more heft to him. And it's not like he was a scrub last year. He'd average over, I think it was like 4.4, 4.5 yards per carry. He looked good when he was out there, showed a little bit of a burst, showed a little bit of wiggle, showed a little bit of power then too. He's not going to run for 80-yard touchdowns, but he's going to be a solid back then too. So another good buy that's not going to break the bank. I'm not a guy that wants to go out there and buy big name running backs, pay huge prices, and hurt your team down the road. I'm always looking at that three-year window, the three-year plan. So always have a three-year strategy going into your fantasy seasons, and don't sell the farm. So these two guys are guys that I think are very good values out there and could help your team, especially in a win-now mode. So let's move on to the wide receiver position then. Scotty, you are up.
Well, there's a lot of people in this one. I didn't really find a good young guy that I loved. I think, you know, Pittman, I think, got really good upside this year. I think Rager's going to have some good upside this year. But I went more veteran with these. There is no wide receiver that is more disrespected or not thought of as highly as they should be than Cooper Kupp. He was the number 5 wide receiver in 2019. They just upgraded the QB position, so the passing volume is going to be better. He's still 28. And guess where he is ranked? Guess where he's at ADP-wise?
16th wide receiver on the board?
24.
You know who was ranked there last year? Stephon Diggs.
Well, Cup's not putting out Stephon Diggs stuff, I don't think, but he's a... I have given a first-round pick for him in two leagues, a 2021 first-round pick. It needs to be back end, but easy. After Bateman's gone in the first, I have no interest, unless I'm really needy for quarterback. Give me Cooper Kupp for that, and I'm moving on. And I've made that trade in two leagues, so I think it's attainable. I see a return to fringe QB1 status this year. If you're a win now team, you better have Cooper Kupp on it, because he's going to be a solid number 2 wide receiver on your team. And I just enjoy the trophy. That's all I have to say.
Who's your only wide receiver?
So this is hard. Like I said, there's so many people. But I wanted to go with a guy that's playing for a contract. A guy that has a young stud quarterback that now will finally throw the ball down the field. I've been saying this for a couple years, and I think it's finally time. Mike Williams.
No.
Come on down. he's super cheap. I think this is the lowest his value's been in a long time. He's playing for a contract. And he is a guy that if you put in your flex, I think you can bank on getting those big boom weeks. And I really like Mike Williams this year. I don't know that I'm going to sacrifice too much in the way of immediate assets, but he's a guy that I'm trying to get thrown in some big trades if I can.
He may be good in best ball leagues.
He's great in best ball leagues. Oh, yeah.
High ceiling for those. I don't know if he's a guy you can trust. And it's not like he's getting a brand new quarterback this year. He had Justin Herbert all last year.
Yeah, he was banged up, though. He was banged up from training camp.
Mike Williams is always banged up. He came in the league with a bad back coming out of college. He's always been banged up. So that's you one situation one you worry about with him. Situation two is you have Keenan Allen, one of the best route runners in the league, taking up all the targets. You also have Austin Eckler taking up a lot of the targets. Are they going to pass the ball to Jared Cook this year, taking up targets? So you got to ask yourself, is Mike Williams the number 2 passing option, number 3 passing option, or number 4 passing option in, I want to say San Diego, but we're talking about Los Angeles here. And I don't know.
Mike Williams.
Could he have value? I can see a Mike Williams breakout, but we've been saying we can see a Mike Williams breakout for the past how many seasons now?
Now he has a quarterback that can put points on the board and get touchdowns. And what is Mike Williams? A touchdown dependent, big time upside, swing or home run swing or strikeout type of player.
We'll call him Mr. Best Ball. How about that?
All right, Mr. Best Ball it is. Hey, I got a bonus one for you here, though.
Okay.
This is easy.
I'll take the bonus.
This is a guy you could probably get for any third round pick, I think. Antonio Brown. He averaged 11 points per game last year in the games he played. I know Godwin was banged up a little bit, but Tom Brady can support three receivers. And as the offense started clicking more, you saw good target volume to all three guys. Antonio Brown is a great, cheap guy that you can flex at times this year. He's a great veteran depth, especially if Mike Evans gets hurt again, or Godwin, who was banged up last year, gets hurt again. Antonio Brown becomes a starter on your team every week. Easy money. Go get him for a third round pick. Have fun with it.
Yeah, I think he's going to be around that 700, 800 range this year. If someone gets hurt, he can sneak into that 1,000 range. But we'll see how long his attitude lasts. Tampa Bay. I think that's his biggest problem wherever he goes then. But I could see him sneaking in there. So if you're sacrificing a third-round pick with win-now teams, solidify your depth, I think that's a good option, especially if you own either Godwin or Mike Evans on your team. I think that's a wise decision. So as far as my guys, we'll start with my young guy. And he's been my buy since the offseason ended. And as each day goes on, I want to get him more and more and more on our team. When we did our Superflex draft here a few weeks ago, I made sure we had this guy on our team. Because I think he is... Sky's going to be the limit here, especially if he gets away from or sees any improvement in quarterback play. And that's our Denver Bronco, Jerry Jeudy then. So I think he goes into the season as the clear number one. I think Cortland Sutton's going to take a while to come back from his ACL tear. I know they said he's not going to be starting off on the PUP list here in the preseason, but I think Jerry Jeudy is going to be that number one. He got a large target share last year, but a lot of those balls were just not good, not catchable. You know what his catch percentage last year was? 46%. Guess what rank that was in the NFL from wide receivers? All wide receivers. 200th. 200th.
How many of those were catchable balls? You probably don't have a stat, but I bet if you had how many of those were catchable balls, you would say 10%.
I think it's probably more than 10%, but but the only person probably that was around that was that number was AJ Green, and I think it's only uphill from now. So Jerry Jeudy, he was the 45th wide receiver in points per game last year, and I think it's going to only increase. We saw excellent route running in college. We saw decent hands. There was one game against LSU. I remember seeing a couple drops. But I think his hands are overall pretty solid then. And I think another year in the system, hopefully he gets Teddy Bridgewater. We saw DJ Moore have a great year. We saw Curtis Samuels have a good year. And we saw Robbie Anderson all have good years with Teddy Bridgewater. And I think that's what we're going to see with Jerry Jeudy here. And I'd be very surprised if he didn't have over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 70-plus catches then. I think he's that good. I think he's going to have a stellar year here. And I think people have soured on Jerry Jeudy. You saw CeeDee Lamb pass him up. You saw Justin Jefferson pass him up. You saw people maybe even drafted Brandon Ayuk over him now too. His value has decreased. And we're not talking like a N'Keal Harry value decrease. We're just talking about a small drop here. But some people are drafting him 1-1 in their drafts then. I don't think many people are doing that, but there are a few people that are drafting him pretty high then, or in the top 3 or 4 picks then. But I think Jerry Jeudy, his price is now obtainable. I think he can get him for a first-round pick in 2022. And I don't know if the draft class is going to be great in 2022, but I'd rather have a Jerry Jeudy than any 2022 pick at this point in time then. And I see great things going forward. So Jerry Jeudy, definite buy. As far as other receivers that are good buys, Gabriel Davis on Buffalo. I think he's going to be the wide receiver number two next year. I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to be moving on. Cole Beasley, maybe a cap casualty then. And I think Gabe Davis is a good wide receiver going for and pay the cheap price now. You still stash him in your practice squad and hope for the 2022 season, and then he may even break through in the 2021. As far as my veteran, so I think I hinted at this before, but there are two guys out there that are have been disrespected for many, many years in fantasy football at the wide receiver position, and that's been T.Y. Hilton and Brandon Cooks. So T.Y. Hilton is a guy that I've made a living on back when I was doing redraft leagues. I don't do any redraft leagues anymore. They're too boring and too one-dimensional. But I used to always get Brandon Cooks and T.Y. Hilton on the cheap, and they used to be my 1-2 punch while I had great running backs to lead my team to victory. And T.Y. Hilton's one of those guys that you can get for dirt cheap at this stage of the game. Do you have T.Y. Hilton's ADP at this stage of the game?
He's a long way down, man. Give me a second.
Well, while Scotty's looking, so just as far as the stats, he was 42nd in the league in points per game.
68.
Yeah, so he's 42nd in points per game last year, so better than 68. In 2019, he was 35. But in 2018, he was 14th overall. So what's the difference between those 3 years?
T.Y. Hilton is older and washed up.
That is true. That is true. But the true difference was the quarterback position. So 2019, Jacoby Brissett. 2020, old man Philip Rivers. 2018, Andrew Luck in his prime. Now, I'm not saying Carson Wentz is Andrew Luck by any means.
Yeah, definitely not.
But he is a significant upgrade over Jacoby Brissett and the 2020 version of Philip Rivers then. And I'm not saying T.Y. Hilton's going to be a low-end wide receiver one, a high-end wide receiver two, but I think you're looking at possibly a back-end wide receiver two. And this is a guy that's, like I said, being drafted 68th overall in startup drafts. But in true reality, he could be the wide receiver one on his team then. And if you look at the last five games, he averaged 4 catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown. So was that like 16 points per game? That's awesome.
He's not good.
And I think that shows that he still has it. He still has the potential. And I think him and Antonio Brown are both buys, but I think he'd get T.Y. Hilton for cheaper. And T.Y. Hilton could be the number one receiver on his team.
Yeah, to me, I think
excellent buy.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think him and Antonio Brown kind of have about equal value right now. So I think both are attainable. I don't know if you... I think the true value of T.Y. Hilton is probably a third-round pick, but I think you probably have to pay some second to get him. I mean, if you're a win-now team, I don't know that a distant second really... If you're a good team and you really are expecting to compete for a long time, a back-end second's okay to get for T.Y., don't you think?
It'd probably be good, but I think
people would accept that, you know?
I think you'd get him for a third, and maybe if you really need to, throw in a fourth or a fifth.
Well, I'd probably do that if I'm competing.
Yeah, because he's being disrespected out there. And like I said, I've made livings on T.Y. Hilton and Brandon Cooks back in the day in redrafts. So they've always had a special place in my heart. And people have been poo-pooing these guys for the past couple years here. So, but T.Y. Hilton, excellent value. Okay, tight end whisperer, you're off the clock.
Easy.
Who do you got?
This is Tyler Higbee time. He's if you look at Sleeper's projections right now, he is a tight end one. And his ADP is 18th. So you tell me how that makes sense. And you got a better quarterback coming in. You're going to get more passing volume. You don't have the competition from Gerald Everett taking snaps away. I do think Bryson Hopkins is going to eventually take that next step. But this year is Tyler Higbee's year, man. I think he's a safe tight end one, back end tight end one, to early tight end two. But I feel very confident about him finishing the year as a tight end one. And man, I get excited thinking about him. I think he is a great backup tight end to have on your team. And it's going to be a good year for him.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. He was my tight end buy as well. Since you stole him from me, I'm going to take his running mate from last year. I think both of them get a boost by going their separate ways. One staying there is Tyler Higbee. The other one going to the division rival, the Seattle Seahawks. And that's Gerald Everett. I think he's easily the top tight end there. He is a receiving tight end, so he's not going to be asked to block too often. He has other weapons on the team to take away any pressure from him. And I think he could be a good outlet for the passing game and Russell Wilson going forward. I don't think he's going to necessarily be a high-end wide receiver. I mean, a high-end tight end one. But I think he could possibly sneak into that back-end tight end one, high-end tight end two. And it's not a guy you want to start every week, but I think he gives you good depth and a guy that's attainable and has some upside. And I think he's definitely going to better quarterback play with Russell Wilson as opposed to Jared Goff of previous years. And the competition for snaps and targets is a lot lower than it was with the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, I like Everett. I like I think he's a buy for sure. I don't know that I value him as high as you do, but I don't know the stats on this, but it seems like Russell Wilson always seems to find the tight end to get these touchdowns. And so I really think Everett is going to see a boost in his red zone targets. And he does most of his damage, you know, between the 20s. So I think he's going to have a nice little year. I don't think he's more than a mid tight end two, but I do see upside to maybe sneak to early tight end two if he really gets, you know, some good passing volume. But they're loaded at wide receiver, and I don't know that the targets are going to be there, but he is a great tight end three to have on your team. I mean, he's cheap as dirt, and he's got plenty of upside. So I like Everett.
Yeah, definitely a good buy option. So who's your other tight end here you have?
Hooper, Austin Hooper, man. Like, he has been getting poo-pooed all offseason.
Hooper the pooper.
Year before last, he was a tight end one. I know he was in Atlanta with Matt Ryan. They had a lot of good chemistry. But this is a guy that's not far removed from being one of the best tight ends, you know, fantasy tight ends in the game. And he's just getting no respect. I mean, I think his ADP is out of the tight end two range. I don't have it here in front of me, but he's really far down the board. And I understand that you have Harrison Bryant there that, you know, is a nice promising rookie, but Austin Hooper in a year where it's not wet and they're not having to run the ball every play, you're going to get more passing work with an offense that's going to improve in the passing game. Maybe Baker takes that next step. I just see better chemistry. There's nowhere to go but up. Go get Austin Hooper, man. I think he's going to have a good year.
So meteorologist Scotty here thinks that it's not going to precipitate in Cleveland this year.
Not as much as before. I mean, you live
good
there.
Good news for you, Clevelanders. It's not going to rain or snow or have high winds here in Cleveland.
Yeah,
been there for 3 years.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
It's basically the Washington State of the I guess you can call it the eastern side of the United States.
Yeah, just for everyone, Cleveland's a wonderful city. I love Cleveland. It's probably my favorite city, and living there for 3 years was a delight. Then winters, you got the lake effect. You got overcast a lot of the winter, but summers are beautiful along Lake Erie there. So I love that. But I think I probably had the nicest 3 years as far as wintertime, as far as precipitation. And I don't think it gets any better than that. So they're due for some bad years here going forward. And they rely on the running game. Austin Hooper is great at blocking for the running game, so they keep him in a lot. And I think the true receiving tight end there is Harrison Bryant. So as far as an NFL team, you probably want Hooper on your team, but as a fantasy team, you probably want to be shading more to Harrison Bryant, in my opinion. And I think Harrison Bryant is probably the better long-term option as far as receiving back, receiving tight end there in Cleveland. So I'd probably be going that way. But Austin Hooper is definitely dirt cheap now. He's a lot better price than he was, say, just over a year ago. So I think he still could be a good buy. And there is that upside if they use him more in the passing game. My buy is actually Irv Smith Jr. So I know in the last episode I had him as my keeper and I decided to cut him. But I looked back at his 2020 season, and when you focus in on the last four games, he was actually the number four wide receiver. He was actually the number four tight end in points per game at the end of the season for the Minnesota Vikings. They had a really bad defense at that stage of the game. They were passing the ball a ton, but did show some promise, did show some upside. And with him, with Kyle Rudolph moving on to the New York Giants, I think we're seeing great promise there with Irv Smith Jr. in the Minnesota offense. I think he could be the third receiving option in Minnesota behind Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, as long as you're not counting Dalvin Cook out there catching passes. I know Scotty's a big Conklin guy.
Yeah, there's no, I can't, I'm not an Irv Smith fan. Give me Conklin. I think Conklin has a better year than Irv Smith. Everybody out there listening right now thinks I'm ignorant and I'm stupid right now, but whatever.
Well, they don't think that.
Well, at the so, end of the year, we do way. Our recap Bet. Show.
Who has a better year? What? Irv Smith Jr. or Conklin? I'll take Irv Smith. You take Conklin. Straight up.
Well, you should be spotting me a couple, nope. A few points here.
Nope. You've been talking to Irv Smith for the past 2 months.
Yeah, well.
You've been talking Conklin for the past 2 months here.
Yeah,
so put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, all right, I'll put it there. Conklin will have a better year. Straight up.
Write it down. We need a big whiteboard here, and then we can write all these bets on it. And
yeah.
Have it for everyone to see once we start the YouTube show.
Yeah. So I believe Conklin's going to break out this year. I think he's a better tight end. And I'm not an Irv Smith fan, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm gonna put all my faith into what we saw at the end of the year, and I think that's hopefully what we see going forward. I don't think he's gonna be number four, but maybe that high end tight end two, maybe low end tight end one then. But we will see. But put it on the board. We got a bet. So I think that's all we got from this episode. Hopefully you had some very good buys here. Hope you take advantage of it. Steal these players from your fantasy managers and then laugh in their faces when you're capitalizing the value later on then. As always, please, please, please leave us some 5-star reviews on Apple iTunes. Leave us some reviews in writing as well then too. Help the podcast. Help us with sponsorships, and then ultimately we'll be able to put out more episodes, get the YouTube channel up and running, have more time for the website, and make your Dynasty experience even better. And I don't know if you got anything else, Scotty.
Yeah, you know, support the podcast, like and subscribe, and thank you guys for all of your support. And we have one loyal listener that we need to give a shout out to.
I think it's actually two. So
okay,
they've been with us from the beginning, and we notice them because they're from France. So it always pops up on our podcast spread, and so we have to say one thing: Vive la France! I think it's a pretty good accent there, but don't ask me to pronounce the town or the the state in France. But two loyal listeners in France. And you remember back in the day with the PTI on ESPN before it went to Hell in a Handbasket?
Oh yeah, that was that's like my favorite show when I was I was a kid.
Yeah, Tony Kornheiser had at the end of the episode had a little Canadian flag and he said, "Long live Canada" or something like that.
Yeah.
Good night, Canada. Yep. So I think we should have when we do our shows, we should have a little Vive la France plaque for everyone to see, and we could be that, and we could wave our little French flag there and say Vive la France
at there the you end go. Episode. Yeah, really appreciate the support. So, shout out there.
Yeah, and if our French guys out, Frenchmen out there, if you hit us up on Twitter at the DYN interview, we'll give you a free shirt because we want to have a big following in France. I can tell you that. Yeah. So everyone, take care. So this is Joseph Adrian signing off,
and this is Scott Martin, and you just listened to the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast.